Welcome to you again this morning at Kings Norton Baptist Church. We're so glad you can join again and pray that this morning the Lord is lifted high in your private worship and will speak powerfully to you through his word now. This we come to. Our passage is 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 10 to 17 and particularly verse 15. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day you've given. We thank you that we can go through it with you and that you've given us a mind and a heart to receive from you, a God who speaks. And we pray that your word would speak to us and that it would penetrate and do its work within us, that we might be responsive to it and it might come with power and conviction for us, that we might love you more and serve you better in these days. Amen. What a disaster it is to lose your home. One lady I knew had to leave her home after it was completely blown up due to a gas leak. Or during the war, there were many who had to leave their homes because they were, if I can use that phrase, bombed out. And then the urgent need arose for another house to live in. But one mother chose to leave her home and took to the road with her husband and four-year-old son. These are her words. "I'm a gypsy soul. The idea of selling off all worldly possessions and to travel the world with only a backpack and my family has always seemed to me like a pipe dream." Well, that is what she did, and indulged herself and her family in her wanderlust. Well, just as having a home is crucial to a good upbringing, so is having the Word of God. Not to have this is like walking away from home. Other things are often luxuries, but not a home. So verse 15, "And how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." And that is Paul talking to Timothy there. Well, this morning we're thinking about God's word, the Bible, and particularly knowing God's word. And the question for you is, do you know God's word? Do you know God's word? And if you are a parent, have you taught or are you teaching God's word to your children? Well, my sister Sarah has a few interesting stories to tell about being a film extra. And some films have so many, you might think that everyone's in it. So also with a message this morning, you are all in it. Everyone listening is in it. If you are a parent, you are in it. If you are a child, you are in it. If you are an adult, you are in it. So parents, did you teach God's word? Children, have you learnt God's word? Adults and children, what have you done with it? So we have three sections: teaching, learning, and responding. Or to put it another way, sowing, growing, and reaping, which are in these three categories: something that parents do, something that children do, and something we all do. So let's think about the first section, which is teaching or sowing, which is something for parents to do. Timothy, he knew the scriptures, and it all started at the beginning of his life. "And how from infancy," that's being a baby, "you have known the holy scriptures," that is the Old Testament. What's his story? Well, Timothy was from Lystra in modern day southern Turkey. And we are told his mother was a Jewess and a believer, but his father was a Greek. It was a mixed area with Jews and Gentiles living alongside each other. Timothy, like many, had mixed parents, mixed ethnically, but also mixed religiously. Later, Paul says of Timothy, he wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. We cannot choose our parents. God does that for us. Some have godly parents, most don't. For Timothy, as I say, it was a mixture. His mother was a Jew and father a pagan, a Greek. They believed very different things. So where did his knowledge of the Bible come from? It was from his godly mother, and she heard it from her godly mother. Paul says at the beginning of the letter, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lewis and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you." His father was not strong in his beliefs and allowed his wife to teach the children Judaism, a recognized religion in the Roman Empire and also protected. So he may have thought, well, that's fine. Timothy was allowed to be taught the scriptures, but not be circumcised. That would have gone too far. His mother's line were Jews and were godly. They were true Jews who loved the Lord. His mother Eunice had been brought up with the scriptures from her mother Lewis, and she in turn now passed them on to Timothy. She did because she saw the value of them. She did so because she knew the value of them. And she did so because the Lord had said she should. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Lewis and Eunice, they both loved God, and they lived and breathed his word. They wanted to obey what he had clearly taught in the passing on of his word to children. Impress them on your children. Impress them on your children. Lewis had done that to Eunice, and now Eunice to Timothy. Taught in obedience and out of love for God, Timothy not only learned the scriptures, but saw them worked out in his mother and his grandmother's life. And they knew that the scriptures led to God. It was the highway to life. To grow up without them is to be far from God, and the low road to misery. Well, in the preface to the Bible I have, and I'm sure there's something similar in yours, it says the translators were committed to the authority and infallibility of the Word of God. They believed that it contained the divine answer to the deepest needs of humanity, that it sheds unique light on our path in a dark world, and that it sets forth a way to our eternal well-being. So I'm talking to you, parents, and any of you in a position to teach others. Have you taught your children the Word of God? Do not neglect this. Do not neglect this. Fathers, we're told in Ephesians 6, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Do not exasperate, well, do not overdo it, a rare thing indeed these days, but do not underdo it, which is all too common. Fathers, mothers, God has charged you with teaching your children. Don't leave it to the church. It's not the church's responsibility. It's your responsibility. At church, we teach the children or parents outside who won't teach them. They won't and they can't and they have no concern for it for themselves. So we are glad to teach them and invest God's word into their young lives. And it's a great privilege and joy to be able to do so. The best thing for every child is to know the Word of God. I'll say it again. The best thing for every child is to know the Word of God. To know God's word is to know about God. To know God's word is to know what God has done. To know God is the Creator. And they, children, are made in his image. Your child will understand God's holiness. He or she will understand their own sinfulness, but also God's amazing love and grace in Christ, who entered this world to suffer and die for sinners. In Christ, your child can find forgiveness for sin and a sure hope for eternity. With him, your child can avoid all the foolishness of the world, and in this short life, live a good life, a godly life, the best of lives. So if you love your children, teach them the word of God. The house I mentioned earlier is a picture of belonging, a picture of order, stability, and safety. Proverbs 9 says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. Or another proverb says, the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. Well, do you watch over your house and maintain it, keep it up? Or have you neglected it? I see houses with doors hanging off their hinges and broken windows. And maybe you're thinking, well, I would never allow that. Yes, it's most important. But do you watch over, maintain, keep up the far more important task of teaching your children God's word? Lewis did with Eunice. Eunice did with Timothy. Don't now neglect your responsibility. Don't be lazy. Don't fail to teach your children. I know it requires effort. It requires time. You will need to set time aside, but it is the best use of time. It's the great investment. Parents, don't neglect this. Make sure your children, entrusted to you by God, have it ingrained into them from the start. You are investing in their precious life. Remember the proverb, train the child in the way he should go. Can you finish? You know what's coming next? And when he is old, he will not turn from it. There's such an array of good children's Bibles and other material from the youngest age upwards. Are you often at the Christian bookshop, searching, asking advice? Do they know you there? Are you one of their regular customers? Well, as parents, you need to be a step ahead. Don't just teach your children in a mechanical way. Maybe you feel you ought to because your mum and dad would like it. No, teach it sincerely and live it because you love your children. If you hate your children, then don't tell them anything. Say nothing. Let them find out for themselves. Well, they won't. Let them learn it at school. No, they won't. Don't tell them anything and then let them decide. Well, there's no choice for them at all there, is there? Well, years ago, a young man committed a serious crime and was heading to the gallows. When the day came and the crowds were gathered, he asked before he was led to the noose and death that he might have a last word with his mother, who was watching and grieving from a distance. Yes, you may, he was told. And all watched as he went over and appeared to whisper in her ear. But they were shocked when they saw the blood and heard her scream. He had sunk his teeth into her ear, having said to her, if you had brought me up properly and taught me properly, I would not be here now. Well, secondly, let's turn to children, knowing and growing, something children do, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. So I'm addressing you who have been taught the Bible, perhaps from the earliest days. And it's very easy to learn when you're a child. On top of that, the Old Testament is full of great stories, full of meaning and very memorable. Things stay with you. You may not be able to instantly recall it, but it is there, planted, embedded, lodged in your mind. John Newton, the converted slave trader, he lost his mother when he was just 9. But she was a godly woman, and for those 9 years taught him the word of God. Later, those words were to come back to him. And it's all thanks to that early, urgent, careful influence of his godly mother. A certain set of circumstances, a prompt, and the conscience-led mind brings it up. There it is, up it pops. The warning sign, the stop sign, the turn right sign, the strong sense that says, this is the way, walk in it. God's word, with all its wisdom, is your great guide. It's your friend in life. It can save you from trouble, from disaster, and from making a mess of things, as so many do. And if I can just shorten Psalm 1, which says this, blessed is the man who avoids sin and the things of this world, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Timothy, there's leader of the church, is going through troubled times. And Paul says, remember the scriptures. You've had them right from the beginning, and they haven't changed. See how beneficial they have been. Stand by them now. Or if your parents taught you, don't forget it. If you've had the Bible taught to you, then you're very privileged. Don't become blasé about it, or cynical, or bitter. And beware, if you're a PK or an MK, pastor kids or missionary kids, then, as I say, you're in a very privileged position. Don't push back against it. You have a foundation that few others have. Don't be dismissive of it. You see, knowing the Bible gives you a great reference to understand and assess the truth of what is going on all around, in the world, in your family, in your own heart. For example, Timothy's mother and father thought differently. They served different masters. And knowing the Bible brings what is confusing into sharp focus. You know, if I can return to that house analogy, to know God's word is a framework like walls around you to keep you safe. A floor built on a good foundation, a firm foundation for your life. A roof over your head to protect from the storms of life that come, and they will come. And windows to look out onto the world and to understand how things are. Windows from which to look out in safety. If a home is a good home, don't run away from it. A homeless man or woman who lives outside without a house is prone to attack, at the mercy of the elements, vulnerable to anything and everything, with no defence. But above all, God's word points to God, to Christ, who is God, and who can save you from the dreadful judgment that is due to all people. Through his work on the cross, he can save you from all the wrong you have done against him, and bring you peace with God, and a new life with God. The word of God shows you the way. It leads you to see sin and repent of it, to turn from it. If you have been taught the scriptures, they can save you from hell and lead you to heaven. What have you done with them? Nothing? Nothing? To do nothing will lead one day to the inevitable judgment and hell. Well, the great preacher Charles Spurgeon wrote to the parents in the church regarding their children. He said this, "My dear brothers and sisters, a little while ago at a meeting for prayer with a large number of ministers who were gathered together, the subject of prayer was our children. And it soon brought tears to my eyes to hear those good fathers pleading with God for their sons and daughters. As they went on entreating the Lord to save their families, my heart seemed ready to burst with a strong desire that it might even be so. Then I thought, I will write to those sons and daughters and remind them of their parents' prayers. Well, here's the letter he produced, saying, O Lord, bless this letter." So the letter starts, "Dear," and you can put your children's names there. For us, it's Samuel and Vanessa. And it goes on to say, "You are highly privileged in having parents who pray for you. Your name is known in the courts of heaven. Your case has been laid before the throne of God. Do you pray for yourself? If you do not do so, why not? If other people value your soul, can it be right for you to neglect it? All the entreaties and wrestlings of your father will avail to you nothing if you never seek the Lord for yourself. You know this. You do not intend to cause grief to your mother and father, but you do. As long as you are not saved, they can never rest. However obedient and sweet and kind you may be, they will never feel happy about you until you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and find everlasting salvation. Think of this. Remember how much you have already sinned, and none can wash you but Jesus. When you grow up, you may become very sinful, and none can change your nature and make you holy but Jesus. the Lord Jesus through his Spirit. You need what father and mother seek for you, and you need it now. Why not seek it at once? I heard a father pray, "Lord, save our children and save them young." It is never too soon to be safe, never too soon to be happy, never too soon to be holy. Jesus loves to receive the very young ones. And you cannot save yourself, but the great Lord Jesus can save you. Ask him to do it. He that asks receives. Then trust in Jesus to save you. He can do it, for he died and rose again, that whosoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Come and tell Jesus you have sinned. Seek forgiveness. Trust in him for it, and be sure that you are saved. Then imitate our Lord. Be at home as Jesus was at Nazareth. Yours will be a happy home, and your dear father and mother will feel that the dearest wish of their hearts have been granted them. I pray you to think of heaven and hell, for in one of those places you will live forever. Meet me in heaven. Meet me at once at the mercy seat. Run upstairs and pray to the great Father through Jesus Christ. Yours very lovingly. He finishes the letter. So now, if you haven't already, there's something for you to do. Well, lastly, the third section, responding and reaping, which is for all of us, young or old. The last part of the text says, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And it's something for all of us to do, but actually it's something that God does through his word. You see, the Bible causes you to first look back, to remember and see what God has done. His great works through time, how he chose a man called Abraham and took him from his godless place and made promises to him to bless him. How he and his descendants found themselves enslaved in Egypt. God had a great purpose. And so when they cried out to God in their misery of slavery, God rescued them and brought them to himself and made them his. He cared for them and gave them power to overcome their enemies. Yet remember how all the way through they failed again and again and sinned again and again. But God had promised a saviour. And so, through the word, we can look back and remember how Jesus came, fully man and fully God, who, unlike you and I, walked in obedience to God's commands. He was obedient even to death and died cruelly at the hands of wicked men. But God raised him up as promised and declared that now forgiveness of sins can be freely received if you will turn from your sins and come to him. Now there is hope for anybody and everybody. All who cry out to him to be rescued from the slavery of sin can be freed. Christ will put his law in your heart, his love in your heart, and enable you to live a new and pure good life. You will see victory over those battles within you, and he will take you to himself on that day of death. So the scriptures remind you of what God has done. They warn you against ignoring what God has done. For to do so means no salvation and only a fearful expectation of the judgment to come. So all scriptures point to Christ. Why are they so important? They speak of what God has done. Why are the scriptures so important? They prepare you to respond to it. The one who knows them is put in the right place to receive Christ. Scriptures can make us soft-hearted, ready-hearted. And as the heart is prepared, the mind is prepared to hear the gospel of grace. As it says, these scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation. Able, there's no guarantee. Don't teach them, and barring God's intervention, you will stay lost. But do teach them, and they are able. You are more likely. But God's word is able to make you wise. If you're a wise man, a woman, boy or girl, you make right choices. Wisdom gives you the right sight to see, and it puts you in the right place to receive. God's word is the great signpost of Christ. The scriptures are pointers to him, and they aim at him, and they say, there, There's the one God has given. He's the one you need. You who are listening, do you know what God says in the Bible? You do? What is God's purpose that you do and not another? God's purpose is that you meet the one behind the ink. He is there. He is seeking you to find him, and you do so through faith. Well, Dr. Chalmers went to see a Scottish woman in her time of trouble about her sin, and she was trying to get faith, if I can put that in inverted commas, to get faith. And on his way to her house, he had to cross a stream over which was a thin plank. And looking out of her window, she saw he was afraid to venture across it. And coming out, she called to him, "Just lip and do it." That was her way of advising him just to trust himself to the plank. So salvation is through faith. Dr. Chalmers used the illustration and her own words to explain to her how to trust in the Saviour. Today it's the same. Trust in Christ alone to cross over. Nothing else, no one else. Yes, here he is. And yes, he is seeking you to find him now, right now. Make sure that you do. May God help you to find him. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, thank you that Timothy had this great experience of knowing the scriptures from infancy, from childhood, and how we can see later that he came to saving faith and was greatly used of you. And so, Father, we thank you for your word and that it's a word which has been given to us to know from the earliest age, and it is able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.